Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Of you, thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Sister Heyman, Brother Heyman, thank you. It's always a pleasure to see you. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 3. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I remember my dad telling me a couple of things as I was growing up. My dad told me this. He said, Wayne, he said, the people don't have it until they can teach it back to you. Right. Now, you may think, Pastor, I got this, but until you can teach it back to me, you really don't have it. You may have heard it, but it's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to have it in your spirit. Can I get a witness? The other thing my dad told me is he said, Wayne, you just have to remember, son, that whatever you preach, you will be contested by people and by the enemy. For the last 5 weeks on Sunday nights, we've been talking about health and healing and that we already have it. And I tell you that I have been contested in my health in the past 5 weeks more than the last 9 years put together, because that's just the way the enemy works. But here's what I know. You don't get what you want if you quit. So we just don't quit. Some days are better than others. Some days you're a little happier than others. But you just keep on going. Because God has a plan and He's got a purpose for you in this church. And so we're not going to let up, shut up, or give up. We're just going to keep on. Are you with me? I said we're just going to keep on. Amen. Lord, just take your word tonight and we sow it into the seed of every believer whose heart will receive it. And then, God, we come and we water it with our tears. And then, Lord, we will receive the harvest. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, most Christians, most of us spend our entire lives chasing something that we think we don't have. We're always asking the Lord to do something. If you're like me, I've been guilty of asking God, God, would you heal? Would you save? Would you deliver? Would you set free? Would you break addictions? Would you break the chains? Would you break the strongholds? And in our mind, God is good. There's no doubt about it. But there is just so much more that could be done. Most of us believe that God can do anything. We just don't think He's done much lately. And if I were to ask you to raise your hands, do you think God can heal? Probably 99% of hands would be raised. Yes, I believe God can heal. We believe God is good, but when we look across the landscape of our lives and our friends and our neighbors and our communities, we just say, wow, man, there's just so much more that maybe God could do. But when we look, brothers and sisters, in the book of Ephesians, specifically chapter 1, the entire chapter, for the most part, was written from an entirely different perspective. Are you with me? All right. I know you are. Now, guess what? My iPad don't want to work, but the devil is a liar. Because according to Ephesians, everything has already been accomplished in Christ. And it's already been given to us as born again believers. Look at three people and tell them this with a smile. You already got it. Tell them like you mean it. You already got it. Now, in other words, a victorious Christian isn't seeking victory, but rather enforces the victory that is already won through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say, I've already got it. See, we're not trying to win a battle. We're coming from a battle that's already been won. Can I get a witness? See, Jesus has conquered. He conquered through death, hell, and the grave. And we are to enforce His conquest. I'm going to keep preaching. In other words, can we change our mindset from God, you need to go and, you know, bake me some cookies, to the mindset that God's already baked the cookies and it's already here. And now we got to keep the little devil's hands from taking what belongs to us. Now, let me just tell y'all something about this spoon. This spoon is for our dog Valentine and Trey's dog Nova. And here lately, the devil's got into them. And they have been barking their crazy head off. So much so that lately, Sister Janet has gotten a little spoon. And she's like, Valentine, you need to hush. And so Valentine didn't hush, but she got this spoon on her little backside a couple times. And then she started hushing. Well, Nova got the same memo. And now, when we're ready for them dogs to hush, Sister Janet just gets her little spoon out and does like that. And they just kind of whimper down and go into Molly's room and go under the bed. Because they understand you're going to get this if you don't hush. See, what we think is that God is real good and that he can do almost anything, but he just hadn't done it lately. And what we got to do is we got to fight to get God to move. And what I see in Ephesians is that healing is the children's bread, and he already provided it. It's already there. And what we got to do is when the devil comes in and tries to take our healing, we're like, mm-mm. No, that belongs to me. You're trying to get your little hands and bully into something that I already have, that Christ already gave me. It's mine. I know John 10 and 10. His word says this, that he has come that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. But a thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How can the devil take something from you if you don't already have it? How can he steal something from you? He can only steal if you've already got it. If you don't have it, he can't steal it. Can I get a witness? And what we're doing is we're saying, God, we need something. And God is saying, guess what? I've already provided that for you. I told you in the book of Exodus that I am Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals you. I've already done that. Healing is the children's bread. And devil, guess what? I ain't begging God to do what he's already done. I'm going to spank your little hands and tell you, Satan, get behind me. This don't belong to you. This belongs to me as a child of God. Is that all right? Some of you need to go get a wooden spoon. I'm being sincere. And you need to get it, and you need to walk in your house and say, devil, don't let me sick Jesus on you. Don't make me get serious. You say, Brother Nealon, that's humorous. The Bible says resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Devil, get your hands out of my blessing. You're trespassing on God's property. This temple belongs to the Lord. Don't come up in here with sickness and disease and infirmity and depression. Can we have fun tonight? Then turn around and slap three people and tell them, hey, it's already yours. Tell them it's already yours. You say, well, Pastor, look, let's get real. If the battle's already won, then why do I feel like I'm constantly in a fight? Well, here's the deal. I want y'all to listen, lean in now. If we're in our purpose and we're doing what God called us to do, then the enemy fights to distract us and lure us away from our purpose. Can I get real with you tonight? Look here, if you made a commitment and you vowed, you know what, I'm not going to date for 5 years and I just want to hold that commitment, then the devil doesn't tempt you maybe even with girls. Now he said, well, guess what, I'll tempt you with guys. If I can't get you one way, I'll try to get you another. If I can't get you with poverty, I'll try to get you with being rich. You say, oh, Brother Nealon, yes, I'm telling you, if you are where you're supposed to be, then the enemy's trying to get you out from there. And if you're not where you're supposed to be, then he's fighting you from getting where you need to be. So, yeah, there is a fight. You do fight. But what I'm talking about is when it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection, the fight's already been won. Now, what we do is we have to fight in our mind. See, nobody comes up to you and says, guess what? Today, I'm going to give you notice. I'm going to steal your joy. They don't do that. People can't just reach up on a shelf called joy and take it, right? This is a spiritual thing. But people can steal your joy if you let them. The devil can steal your joy if you let him. Oh, I wish I had three people in here tonight. He can steal your healing if you let him. I've seen people healed. They confess that they were healed. 6 months later, they're sick. Why? Because they allowed the enemy to come in and take what belonged to them. They didn't stand up in their God-given authority and said, guess what? On Sunday night, such and such a day, I know God healed me. And devil, you're not going to take it from me. You're a liar. I resist you. I rebuke you. I belong to God. You're trespassing. Some of you tonight ought to press charges. You ought to get mad enough at the devil that you press charges and say, I want you to know I'm God's property and you need to get off of God's property. This is the temple of God, and Satan, I resist you, I rebuke you. See, we have to fight. What do we have to fight? We fight the works of the enemy that would try to come in and steal what belongs to us. See, we have to fight what the culture says. The culture says in this day and age, if you want more happiness and if you want more joy, you need more stuff. You need a tummy tuck. You need more hair. You need to push it up a little bit. You need to drive a fancier car. You need to go buy a new house. It's always you got to get more. You talk to people and you ask them, did you get enough sleep? No, not enough. How much money you got on you? Well, not enough. How long was your vacation? Not long enough. And we wake up with that loop thinking we're not enough, don't have enough. And we're always looking at what we don't have instead of what we do have. Can I preach for a little while tonight? Can I preach? We are the most blessed nation in all the world. We are the richest nation in all the world. No other nation in the history of the world has ever had more than what we have. And yet we're fighting depression more than we've ever fought it. I don't want to be a downer, but one of our very own pastor's wife just jumped off a bridge and committed suicide. Oh, dear God, that does something to me, because we ought to be the most joyous people on the face of the earth. And yet the enemy's got us looking at what we don't have and seemingly what we can't do. And we're looking at everybody else and we're saying, she's more beautiful, he's more handsome, they're more talented, they got the car, they got the money. And we're looking at what we don't have, and the devil is stealing our joy and he's snatching things from us when we ought to be saying, you know what, I'm where I need to be, and God is saying, right here is where I want you. And when I get, when God knows he can trust me with more, then he'll bring me more. But for right now, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. God knows what I have need of when I have need of it. Come on, somebody, stand to your feet and give God some praise in this house. The fight is, we gotta fight. Are we going to listen to our flesh? Because guess what? If most of us listened to our flesh, we could have stayed home tonight. That's just being real. I don't always feel like coming to church. In fact, there's sometimes I probably wouldn't come if I wasn't your pastor. You say, why? Because just sometimes my flesh don't want to go to church. And that's what you got to fight. I love God. I love you. I love church. But there's just sometimes my flesh says, stay home. And yours does too, if you're honest. But you know what you do? You do like my daddy. You get your little Easter keister up there, boy. Y'all, I got to preach tonight. I remember walking in my daddy's office one time, and I led service back in Cleveland. And I said, Daddy, let me tell you something. I said, man, I've really been busy this week, and I really don't feel like leading service. My dad looked at me and said, do what? I said, no, Dad. He said, I don't care what you feel like. You get your little Easter keister up on that platform, and you're going to lead service. Said, don't you ever tell me that again. I'm going to tell you something. I never told him that again. You know what? He quoted me. He quoted me the word. He said, the word says, son, be instant in season and out of season. Now, if you're out of season, I'm sorry about that, but get instant, get up there, get instant right now up there, and get your little Easter keister up there, and you're going to lead service. You hear me? I said, yes, sir, I do hear you. You know what? Be instant in season and out of season. As a mature saint of God, it's, well, I feel like worshiping tonight, so, whoa, we're going to get our dance on. No, whether you feel like it or not, he's worthy to be praised. Come on, somebody. Whether I feel good or they sang my favorite song or, boy, I'm just on cloud nine and God's been good. No, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Am I helping anybody tonight? Yeah. So you say, well, Pastor, if the fight's already won and I feel like I'm fighting every day, well, the fight is to stand in the victory that God's already purchased for us. Here's what we don't have to fight. We don't have to fight to get healed. We fight because we've been healed and the enemy would like to take it from us. Get your hands out of that, devil. That belongs to me. We got to fight against the doubt that arises in our mind. We got to fight against unbelief. We got to fight against being cynical. The older you get, the more cynical you can become if you don't keep your spirit renewed. Because you get burned. People don't do you right. People take advantage of you. They betray you. They reject you. And if you don't keep your heart and your spirit washed, you can get cynical. You fight against being positive in a very negative world. But you have to make the choice. There's an old song that says this. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Devil, you didn't give me this joy. God gave me this joy, and I'm not going to allow people or what they do or what don't do take it from me. Now get your hands off my joy, because that belongs to me. Now get your hands off my healing, because that belongs to me. Get your hands off my blessing, because that belongs to me. Jesus provided that for me at Calvary. Somebody give God some praise in this house. See, more effort is needed. Stay with me now. More effort is needed to go conquer something we don't have. I'm going to say this again. More effort is needed to go conquer something we feel like we don't have than to defend something that's already ours. What do you mean by that? Well, let me ask you a simple question. Baby, I'm sorry, by the way. I don't know who opened the sugar. I didn't do it. But let me ask y'all a question. Simple question. Is it easier for me to hold this and defend this sugar right now or to have to go get sugar at the grocery store? I already got it in my hand. It's a whole lot easier to defend this than have to walk over to the grocery store to go get it. Right? Do y'all agree with that? Here's what the scripture says. Freely you have received, freely give. If I haven't received anything, I can't give anything. So we're operating from a position that we already have it. Now what I got to do is defend what I already have instead of having to go get something I don't think I have. Devil, this belongs to me. Can I have it? No, you can't have it. Why? Because Jesus paid for it and it's mine and it don't belong to you. It's mine. You say, well, I need anointing. Well, guess what? He's got that. It already belongs to you. Oh, can I preach a minute? You go back and we go back into the Old Testament and we say, oh, we want a double portion. The only reason why Elisha could ask for a double portion is because he didn't have the Spirit of Christ. Oh, it's fixing to get quiet up in here. He couldn't ask for a double portion if he would be here today because the scripture says he gave you the fullness of the Spirit. He didn't give you a thumble,
thimbleful and said, all right, let me measure this out, because you know what? If I gave you too much, I'd dim the lights of heaven. And so I better give you just a thimbleful, and that's all you need. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says you have the fullness of Christ, that it is in you. So I know I'm going against all kind of theology, but you can't ask for a double portion today, because God can't give you any more of his spirit than he already gave you. God can't heal you any more than what he already healed you at Calvary. God can't forgive you any more than what he already forgave you at Calvary. God can't bless you any more than what he already blessed you. You say, Brother Nina, I don't know about that. Okay, well, let's look at this. Go back to Ephesians 1 and 3. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I don't have to go get it. I already have it. Jesus, would you go, God, and would you jump back on that cross and forgive me of my sins? God said, no, I already done that. Jesus, would you go up and jump on that cross, Lord, and heal my body? Jesus said, no, I already done that. I think I can prove to you that Jesus don't even have blood. I think he poured it out all on the mercy seat. I think Jesus is nothing but flesh and bone. I don't think if Jesus wanted to get back on the cross, he could. Y'all stay with me. I got to go down many different trails tonight. See, some people are saying, well, look, if you forgive and forget, then you're supposed to let them just come back and do it all over again. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus went one time to the cross. They put 39 stripes on his back one time, a crown of thorns on his head one time, three different spikes in his body one time. But guess what? That ain't ever happening again. He came as a lamb the first time. The next time he come, he's coming as a lion from the tribe of Judah. No, ain't nobody going to beat on Jesus again. Ain't nobody ever going to put him on the cross again. That ain't never going to happen again. Why you said that? Because you got to know. You know what, devil? You did that to me one time. Shame on me. But I know who I am. You ain't coming back again and doing that to me. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I belong to the Lord. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. It's mine. Shout, it's mine. No, shout, it's mine like you mean it. It's mine. It's mine. Oh, I need spiritual gifts. You already got that. You got that when you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just like you got muscles. You know what? Everything you needed was in a seed. And in that seed that man placed into that woman was two ears and two eyes and five fingers and five toes. And everything you need was already in the seed. Now, it had to be developed. It had to be matured. But it was already there. The muscle's already there. If you wanted to beat Mount Everest, you got to go work out. It's already there. See, what we're doing is we're saying, God, go get me something I don't have. God said, no, can't do that. Or because of why? Because I already did that. That's yours. That's already yours. Now, are you going to keep the thief from coming in and stealing, killing, and destroying? Or are you just going to let him take it? Because guess what? He will. Am I helping anybody? Most Christians live their life from a position they had to go and get it instead of they already have it. According to Ephesians 1, as a believer, we're not trying to get something from God. We're fighting to receive the full manifestation of what is already ours in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to start talking like we already have it, not as though we're going to get it. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, that's what the Lord does. Prove it, okay? He said, Abraham, guess what? I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. Why is that, Lord? Because you're a father of many nations. God, I don't even have a son. I know. And God, guess what? I'm 100 years old. I know. My wife is Sarah. She's 90. God, there ain't no way a 90-year-old can have a baby. I know. But with God. So I'm going to go ahead and call you, even though you're not that right now, you don't see that, you are it. See, the Bible says this, calling those things that are not as though they were. That's operating like God. You may have the flu, but you can still say, you know what? I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I may not feel the best, but I'm healed by his stripes. I may not have $2 to my name, but guess what? My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the silver and gold belong to him. What are you doing? You're speaking those things that are not as though they already were. Satan, get off of my blessing. Come on, somebody. Am I helping anybody tonight? See, God called Gideon a mighty man of valor when he was hiding out in the wine press. He didn't feel mighty, but God saw what he could be. And he called him what he wasn't, but what he could be. You're a mighty man. See, just because you don't feel like it. Let me talk to somebody. We say, well, you know what? We can't say that because we don't feel it. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you feel on a Monday morning like always going to work? Come on, somebody. Do you always feel, oh, I feel like it. Ooh, on Monday morning, you're up in there, oh, I feel like praising him. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. Your hair's all nappy. Your breath could take down a dragon. You don't feel saved. You sure don't look saved. You ain't feeling like going to work, but you know what you do? You get your little self dressed. You get on in your car and you head on to your job. Why? Because you're being responsible. Because even though I don't feel like going to work, I know I got to show up. I don't always feel the anointing on me. I don't always feel like a Christian. I don't always feel saved on Monday mornings. But guess what? When I wake up in the morning, I'm just as saved in the morning as what I am right now. See, we grew up in a Pentecostal experience that said you had to feel it, and the pastor had to shake your head and drip oil down all over you. Some of y'all have told me that preachers, you've been under, took the oil and literally just poured it all over you. I'm going to tell you something. I may do that, but it's doubtful. It's probably doubtful. Because guess what? All this is just oil, and we're operating in the obedience according to James. But it's really not in the oil, and it's really not in the prayer cloth. It's in faith. When we make contact and we say, God, we're going to go ahead and speak this in the name of Jesus. We're believing healing right now in the name of Jesus. We're believing for increase in the name of Jesus. We're not begging you to do what you've already done. Are y'all with me now? See, we struggle under condemnation and unworthiness because we think, y'all stay with me, we think it hasn't been done for us in our performance. Our performance is what causes God to move in our life. I'm going to go against some of your theology, but stay with me. I want you to catch this. What is salvation? Salvation is a gift. It is a gift. It is a gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And since it's a gift, it's not based on our performance. It's not based on our worthiness or lack thereof. It has nothing to do with it. So what does that mean, Pastor? It means that the moment when we were sinners and we reached out and asked God to forgive us all of our sins, God didn't suddenly hear us and say, okay, I think I'll respond to that and go jump on the cross. Didn't happen. You know what? When you that night or that morning or whenever, you reached out to the Lord and you said, God, forgive me of all my sins. Guess what? That happened. When you said it sincerely, because he already did the work. He already knew you was going to need to be forgiven of sins. That's why he did it over 2,000 years ago. It's already done. He don't go hop up on the cross and say, okay, I'll do it for you. You say, well, man, Brother Nealon, you know, I need to pay my tithes and be faithful and teach a Bible study and I need to read my Bible every day. And you know what? Yes, we do need to do all those things. We do. Yes, as a mature saint of God, we do. But the truth and the fact of the matter is salvation is a gift. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was already something he already provided. Before you even knew you needed salvation, he had already provided it. Before you even knew you needed healing, he already provided it. Did that just make sense? And yet what we do is we operate under this, we gotta perform for God, and we gotta show God we're worthy. When nowhere in Scripture, nowhere, brothers and sisters, nowhere in Scripture did God ever evaluate someone on their worthiness or not for him to heal them. One man came to Jesus and said, if it be thy will, look at the next verse. Jesus immediately responded and said, I will. I will. It's always his will to heal, and it's always his will to save. And that has already been done. You're not fighting God to get him to go into heaven's bakery and to bake you up something that you already need. Say, Pastor, I don't know if I can believe that or not. Okay, then let's go to John chapter 6. Let's just run over to John real quick. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and who believes in me shall. Okay, now let's just take that for what it says right there. If you're saying I'm hungry, then guess what? This word says right here that if you come to him, you'll never hunger. Oh, I'm so thirsty for God. I get what you mean. But if you come to him, he says, who's ever hungry? I'll feed you. Who's ever thirsty? I'll give you drink. Why? Because there's a fountain, the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers, not a trickle, not a thimbleful, rivers of living water. See, if you need water, you don't have to beg God, God be my water. He said, I'm already that. God be my bread. I'm already that. God, I need anointing. I'm already that. God, I need some good things in my life. I'm already that. God, I need some gifts. I gave that to you when I gave you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You already got that. Now, you may not be exercising it. You may not be utilizing it, but you already got it. Say, how do you know? Because the Bible says he's given every man the measure of faith. So here's the question. Do I already have it, or do I have to fight to get it? Well, when it comes to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you already have it. When it comes to your daily walk, then what you have to do is you have to fight to keep it in your mind. This is where the fight is. I am blessed of the Lord. Yo, I have. Janet told me today, she said, Wayne, she said, you have been in a bad mood. And I told her, and I said, Janet, I know it, but you and I both know this is spiritual. It has nothing to do with you, Trey or Molly, has nothing to do with anyone else. It has everything to do with new levels, new devils. And the Lord knows I want to go to a new level, and the devil's not going to sit by and idly just let us go. He's going to contest you, and that's the fight. And then you have to decide, do I really want this, or am I just going to sit back and just kind of go to church? Y'all are sweet people, and I love you, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not happy with where TPC's at right now. I want our altars full of people getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want our baptistries full of people getting baptized in Jesus' name. I don't want to see sin management, and I know it takes a while for some things, but I'm not happy with sin management. I want every one of us, including myself, to be totally free from any hurt, habit, and hang up, any addiction, or any sin. I don't want to come in here and manage sin. I want God to transform us from top to bottom, pulpit to pew, front to back. I'm hungry for it. And guess what? The devil doesn't just sit by and say, okay, if you want it, there it is, go get it. No, he's going to contest you. But I'm here to tell you again, and even the devil again, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The devil is a liar. Come on, somebody, stand to your feet and give God some praise in this house. Come on, give him praise. Come on, everybody, stand and give God praise. Just remain standing. I've got way more to say, but I think I need to finish right here. See, the reason why that I've been in a foul mood is not because of my family or because of you, but because I've seen something about myself. I thought that I was better on some things than what I've really been. And this little thing that is happening in my life is showing me, guess what? It's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to fight to see it come to pass. How bad do you want it? It's yours. It's yours. Some of you need to go through your home. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. And you need to anoint your house afresh and say, there's not going to be any addiction that's going to live here. I'm going to be free in the name of Jesus. Depression, not going to live here in this house. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's mine. Joy is mine. Peace is mine. He already paid for that at Calvary. Devil, get your hands off of my joy. I'm going to walk in joy. I want to be a good billboard for Jesus. Wherever I go, I want the people of the Lord to see joy in my heart. I want them to see peace in my life. I want them to see love in my spirit. Some people look like they've been baptized in prune juice. I'm going to tell you something. That's really not a good representation as a Christian on behalf of the Lord. Have I helped anybody tonight? So, do I have it, Pastor, or do I have to fight to get it? I'm confused. When it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection and everything that Jesus accomplished for you on the cross, you already have it. Now what I have to do, you have to stand there in a place of authority and say, no, devil, that belongs to me. No, I'm not going to be depressed today. Why not? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm going to get my mind off of what I don't have, and I'm going to keep my mind on what God has blessed me with. And I'm going to quit looking. I'm going to quit looking for a double anointing because I already have the anointing. I've been anointed. I have all spiritual blessings. Guess what? Finances? He's already blessed us with that. He said in his word, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. No, I don't have to go and get it. Here's the fight, though. The fight is in my mind. I'm going to choose today to live a life of joy, or am I going to choose to allow the enemy to get the best of me and get me to looking at what I don't have, what I haven't done, how the enemy has taken this and stolen this? See, brothers and sisters, we're not accepted based off of what we've done. We're accepted based off of what Jesus did for us. And I'm going to close with this. If you were to ask, if you were to be asked to write a paper, you had to write a paper and you had to say a prayer for a generation that's going to read it 2,000 years from now, what would you write and how would you pray? I'm going to ask that question again. If you were asked to write a paper and write a prayer for a generation that would read it 2,000 years later, What would you ask for? What would you write? And what would you pray? Here's what I think the average Christian would do. I think the average Christian would pray like this. Oh God, I'm asking you, Lord, to pour out your Spirit upon this generation. Send revival and move in a mighty way, oh Lord, and do a new thing in the earth. Basically, I think, I may be wrong, but I think that their whole prayer and their whole writing it out would be, God, do something. God, do something. Here's what Paul did. Paul did just the opposite. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Listen to what he said. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Most of us would write or pray and ask God to do something new, and Paul did the exact opposite. He said, God, would you open up their eyes and help them to see what they already have? It's already yours. No, devil, you can't have my healing. You can't have my joy. You can't have my blessing. It belongs to me. Christ paid for it at Calvary for me. Has this made sense? Father, I thank you for your word. We're so used to living by the culture of this world that for someone to really stand up and proclaim the word of God, most people look at them as fanatics, crazy. Can't really be like that. You can't really have that. But yet your word tells me in Romans 8 and 37 that as a born-again believer, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Father, your word tells me that the very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living on the inside of me. And yet many times I'm walking in circles like a dog chasing its tail, asking you to do what you've already done. Father, I join tonight with the great Apostle Paul, and I ask you, Lord, let our eyes be open that we may see. We don't need more of anything. We need a revelation of what we already have. In the name of Jesus, would you now just place your hand on a neighbor's shoulder, and I just want you to pray, God, open our eyes. Let revelation, Lord, be in this house tonight, that we stand in a place of authority far above principalities and powers and might and dominion. TPC, would you now lift your voice and would you pray for that neighbor in the name of the Lord? Father, I pray for revelation tonight.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC De Quincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in De Quincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.